praise, 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
My constant friend is for his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
You may be seated. If the children would come forward to see Miss Carlene.
Excited to be here today?
Yes.
Yeah. You think so? Okay. Are y'all going to talk to me this morning? Okay. Because y'all going to have to answer a lot of questions. So, Harrington, you're going to have to move over so you can see what I'm doing. Okay. All right. So this morning, I brought a friend with me today. Okay. Let me see if I can get my friend out of my bag. Oh, look. What did I bring with me? Potato Head. Who likes Mr. Potato Head? Do you like him? Yes, that's right. So I brought Mr. Potato Head, and guess what? He's never been to church. Oh, wow. Wow, isn't that interesting? He's never been to church. So, have you been to church? Are you at church right now? Yeah, that's right. So I thought we could talk about the things that Mr. Potato Head can learn at church. Okay? So as I put on his little face and everything, we're going to talk about what they all do, okay? So the first thing that I'm going to put on is going to be his eyes. That's right. So what do you think Mr. Potato Head is going to see with his eyes at church? Jesus. Okay? What else? God? The Bible? What? The Bible? Yes. Is he going to see boys and girls? Is he going to see people? Is he going to see smiling faces? Yes. Is he going to see people singing? Yes, he is. So do you think he'll learn from that? Yes, that's right. So let me see what my next one is. Make sure I get the right one. Okay. So the next one is going to be his mouth. Do we all have a mouth? So what can we do at church that celebrates God using our mouths? Yes, Bergen? We can smile? We can sing? What? Eat. We can definitely eat. Yes, for sure. Okay. Yes, crew? You can tie your shoes? Okay, yes. Yes, Harrington? We can breathe. That's right. Can we read our Bible? Can we tell our friends about Jesus? Can we just be glad to see our friends and say hello to them? Yes, do y'all say hello to your friends when you get to church? Are you using your mouth when you do that? Yes, all right. So the next thing that I'm going to put on, oh, let me get out of my bag. He keeps slipping away. Is going to be my ears. Let's see if I can get my ears in. All right. Okay. So, what do you think he can learn from having his ears? What do you think his ears are going to hear? Okay. Hear? He's going to hear? What is he going to hear? Carly? The Bible? People singing? Look. What is he going to hear? He's going to hear some animals? Well, he could hear some animals. You're right. Yes, crew. More people talking? That's right. Do you think he's going to hear Pastor Jeff preaching? Yes. Yes. Is he going to hear people singing and worshiping God? Yes. Do we hear? Do we use our ears to hear people singing and worshiping God? Yes. That's right. Is he hearing you talk this morning? Yes, he is. So he's learning a lot about church, right? So what do you think I'm going to put on next? Very good, Bergen. I'm going to put let me see if I can get his hands on there. Okay. Let me see if I can get his, there he goes. Okay, my ear doesn't want to stay straight. So what can he use his hands for at church? Yes. to open the Bible so we can read it. That's right. What else can we use our hands? Pick up heavy stuff? Yes, he can pick up heavy stuff. What about greeting people at the door? Can we hand them a bulletin that tells all about the church? Can you hug your friends? Can you shake hands with people? Can you pray? What about clapping and celebrating Jesus? That's right. So he can learn a lot. He's going to learn a lot when he comes to church by using his eyes and his mouth and his ears and his hands, right? So is my Mr. Potato Head finished?
No.
What's missing? His nose. Okay. Oh, man. So we have a nose. What about the nose? Let's think about that. Everybody point to your nose. Okay. If you think about this, your nose is in the center of your face. Right? So let the nose remind Mr. Potato Head that God is the center of our lives. Have you ever thought about your nose helping you know that God is the center of your life? Isn't that amazing? So he's going to use his nose to remind him that Jesus and God are the center of his life. As he learns with his eyes and with his mouth and his ears and his hands, his nose will learn that Jesus is the center of our lives. Isn't that exciting? Yes. And so as he comes to church, do you think he's going to learn using all of his senses that he has, right? He is. And it says in Psalms 122:1, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad you came to church? Are you glad you came to church?
Yes.
Do you think Mr. Potato Head is glad he came to church?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Potato Head went to children's church first service. Did you know that? I think he learned in children's church. Are you going to go to children's church and learn? Can you use your eyes and your mouth and your ears and your hand and your nose to learn about who? Jesus. So as you remember this, all of this, when we come to church, we learn so that we can go out into the world and tell others about who? Who can we tell others about?
Jesus.
That's right. So as you're learning today, just be reminded that your nose, you need some? Yeah. So the nose helps you remember that Jesus is the center. So is Jesus the center of your life? Not just at church, but everywhere, right? You can tell me something just a minute, okay, Logan? Okay? So his feet? Oh, I just put his shoes on him. He's fine. I just gave him shoes so I could actually hold him. So, yeah. So let's let the Mr. Potato Head remind us that God is with us always, and we can use all of our eyes, nose, mouth, hands, and ears to learn and grow and know him. Okay? All right. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are with us and watching over us, and that you are the center of our lives, and that you, God, lead and guide us through everything that we do, Lord. Just bless these boys and girls today and bless their families. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Can you carry that for me, Bergen? Thank you. Come on, Logan.
Well, good morning, church family. Good to have you worshiping with us online. Also, if you could go ahead and check into whichever service you are attending, that would be great. How many of you saw our pastor's weekly email this week? Okay. He had a little fun at my expense. And so for the benefit of those who did not see that email, can you go ahead and put that picture up for us, Jason? I'm not sure if that's me or not, to be honest. But you know, you can find anything on the internet. I don't know if you knew that or not. So I did a search for Jeff Hatcher childhood photos, and I think his parents had the exact same car seat my parents had. And y'all tell me if this is any kind of resemblance to Jeff. So go ahead and show that next picture. So no doubt about it. I told you payback was coming, did I not? All right. You know, Jeff and I love each other, by the way, and we can have fun. I think Jesus had fun with his disciples. We can have fun in the house of the Lord. Thanks to everyone who was able to attend and support the pancake fundraiser this past Wednesday night. They raised $2,200+. That was good. That'll help support that trip to Superstart in the latter part of January, early February of next year. And it's a really impactful conference for those kids. I told the early service that I went several years as a sponsor. I kind of dreaded that, to be honest. But, man, I had this deep encounter with the Lord during one of the worship services. And I'm just weeping. And I'm thinking, my goodness, God, I'm at a children's concert here, a children's conference. And he said, well, I'm here. Is why you're stirred. And so it can be a really a significant event for those youngsters, those fourth and fifth graders. Our men's breakfast is this coming Saturday morning at 7:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Our trunk or treat is the 25th from 4 to 5:30. And we are in need of 15,000 pieces of candy. That's 15 and 30s. And our goal is to have 50 cars as distribution points, and we're in need of 31 more vehicles. So you can go ahead and sign up through the app. You can also scan the QR code in the bulletin, and that'll get you connected for that event. So if you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So Operation Christmas Child is in full swing. The collection week is the third week of November, and we're encouraging people to go ahead and build some shoe boxes, either physically or maybe online. And we've got a cute little competition-type video that shows how to put a shoe box together. So, Jason, if you could play that.
Hello and welcome to Shoebox Showdown, brought to you by Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child. I'm Stephen McMahon.
And I'm Josh Scott. Let's get ready to pack some shoeboxes. Samaritan's Purse sends Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to children in need all over the world, together with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's welcome our shoebox packers, Adrian and Marley. They will each be packing a shoebox with us today.
Now, what we're looking for here are quality shoeboxes. That means it's got to be fun. It's got to be full. And it's got to be personalized.
Well, it looks like our shoebox packers are ready to begin, so let's get into it.
Remember, it's all about Jesus. Now let's bless some kids. Ready?
So exciting. This is where the journey of a shoebox begins.
Oh, wow.
Boy, yeah. Look, Marley wasting absolutely no time diving right into those school supplies.
Well, and I see Adrian starting out with some fun toy options, smaller fun items that they can play with, like toy cars.
Oh, uh-oh, Steven. Don't mean to interrupt you, but it looks like we have a flag on the play.
Shoebox foul. No soap allowed in the boxes. Please remove and continue.
Oh, he's absolutely right, Josh. Soap is actually on the do not pack list.
And that's an important point, Steven. The do not pack list are items that could cause problems in customs. That could be soap, as we just saw there, liquids, candy, even camouflage items fall under this list as well.
Camouflage, I didn't even think about that. Folks, you can visit this website to see a detailed list of what and what not to pack in your shoebox.
These shoeboxes are starting to get full, Steven, and it looks like Marley is going for the wow item. It's a teddy bear! Oh! It's a teddy bear!
Oh! Wow! You know that little girl is going to love that teddy bear.
Boy, she sure is.
And look, Adrian has a choice to make here. Only room for one. It's going to be the soccer ball and a pop to go with it.
Wow! Wow! Two solid wow items from each of our packers there.
Each child who receives a shoebox will hear the gospel presented along with their gift and be invited back for discipleship. This is a great way to show them that God loves them and we love them too.
As we near the end here, we're looking for that personalized touch with a letter and perhaps even a photo. It's really up to each shoebox packer, Stephen, to make these gifts special. Now it looks like our packers are putting the most important thing into their boxes, and that is prayer.
That's right. We certainly want each child who will be receiving these gifts to be prayed for. Usually when you send things in the mail, there's some sort of shipping cost.
Yes, there is. And in this case, a $10 donation is suggested for each shoebox.
And it looks like these guys are making their donation online so they can follow their box after it's shipped. Now that's a cool feature.
It sure is. I don't think they could fit another thing into these boxes, Steven, but let's see what our referee has to say.
These boxes are fun, full, and personalized. Two excellent shoeboxes. Great job, guys.
And it's good. They've done it. What an exciting day it has been watching these guys pack a shoebox. I tell you what, I'm definitely going to be packing boxes with my family this year.
Me too. And you can even pack shoeboxes online. It really couldn't be any easier, and it makes such a huge impact.
Folks, National Collection Week is the third week in November. There's a drop-off location near you.
Now let's get out there and pack some shoeboxes.
I want to remind you that our church is one of the drop-off locations for our area. The shoe boxes are by either door as you go out, and there is a label there you can either pack for a boy or a girl. On the back side of that label, you'll find instructions about packing shoe boxes. I want to read a short testimony. This is from Central Asia. As Pastor Gaddy returned from an Operation Christmas Child outreach event, he saw two boys on the side of the road selling nuts. Having two leftover shoebox gifts in his car, he gave them to the boys and told them about Jesus Christ. As a result of his brief encounter, one of the boys named Amir responded, "I believe you, mister. I believe that Jesus came to save me from sin." Days later, Amir was hit by a car and died. Pastor Gaddy visited the family, sharing the eternal hope of the gospel. And Amir's mother and grandfather accepted Jesus as their Savior. The power of a shoebox. Another one in the kingdom for eternity. So this morning as we pray, I want to pray through the prayer requests that are listed in the bulletin. We did this during the early service. A couple things if you want to jot these down and add. Sometimes our bulletin prints before other requests are shared with us. So if you want to add these, feel free to do that. Ruben Reyes for a job situation. Jonathan Patton, job situation as well. And Hannah Matthews, health situation. And we have Augie Hug in the bulletin to be prayed for. Actually, he passed away from his cancer struggle. So you can pray for the family of Augie Hug. And Cheryl, would it embarrass you if we put you on that list? You can't say no, because I just kind of continue to pray for Cheryl as she recovers from her shingles issue. We okay over there? Nothing? It's kind of dead? Okay. We can move forward. Reuben Gillen Garza was on the list, and I got a request from Marcy on Tuesday about him. Marcy, can you stand up real quick? Reader's Digest version of what's going on with him. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. You know, God is faithful. He hears the prayers of his people. And I was thinking about scripture where Jesus was teaching on persistence in prayer, and he said to seek, ask, and knock. And in the original language, that's to keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking. And I didn't know this. You know, we've been praying for Austin Tice for 6 or 7 or 8 years. And we have two of his sweet aunts, Becky and Susie, here. And Mark, I don't want to embarrass you, but Austin's dad, Mark's here. And God hadn't forgotten you guys. He is not. So anyway, I want to pray through the names in the bulletin. I encourage you to pray along with me. Father, we love you, God. You're so incredibly faithful. You are the God that heals, saves, and delivers. And we thank you, Father, what you did in the body of little Reuben, restoring him to health, God. You're so good. But Father, at the same time, we see ongoing issues that we've been praying for a while, maybe even years. And Father, you've already got an outcome assigned to those issues. You're so good, so faithful. And we trust you. Father, we pray, God, for Diane Gregory, Lord, who's just struggling with her eyesight. Pray for healing. Pray for Hannah Matthews, for healing for her as well. For Cheryl Hatcher, God, touch her even this morning, set her free, God. Pray for job situation things for Jonathan Patton and Reuben Reyes, God. Would you just show up mightily there for them? And we lift up Teresa Maston, Lord, who's continuing to struggle with cancer. We pray for the Augie Hug family, God, as they grieve the loss of Augie. And lift up Jeremy Schulte, young pastor who's been diagnosed with lymphoma, God. Would you comfort him? Pray for healing for him, peace for his family, peace for that church. And God, for Samantha Gerngross and Ned Cantwell, Joe Perez, good to have Joe again with us this morning. God, I pray for encouragement for him. For Tommy Poor, healing and comfort for him as well. Britt and Lisa Thornhill, healing and provision. For Bart and Linda Calco, healing and provision. For Dawn Patton, God, healing and comfort. And I just thank you for the radical encounter she had yesterday morning with you at 7:50 a.m. And it's her story to tell. Thank you for visiting her in power. Pray for continued healing for Mike Wilkins and for Linda Stanfield, for Evelyn Mitchell and Laura Reinbolt. And Lord, I pray a blessing on the Tice family, God, as they seek you, as they trust you for the very next day. Lord, I'm at a loss as to pray what they need specifically. Holy Spirit, intercede for us. And just do what needs to be done there. And we trust you. Oh, Father, you're so loving, so kind, so faithful. And, Lord, we will not look to another but you. And as our pastor preaches about Jesus being Lord, Jesus, we declare collectively this morning that you are Lord. You are Lord, the one seated at the right hand of the Father. You are Lord. You're making intercession for us. Right now, we praise you. We turn our eyes towards you. You're where our help comes from. And we praise you. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. Our giving options are on the screen, as always. Offering boxes are by the doors. And we will have people available to pray with you after the service. If you need prayer, seek them out. Joyce has got her name tag on. Are you one of the prayer persons? Okay. Who's praying with you? Kirby Salome. So seek those two out. Seek me out. Seek someone out you trust. And let's turn our burdens over to the Lord. Let's continue to worship together as we stand.
Bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you All of I'm so glad that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you're our guest, we're especially glad that you're here. We love guests, and we love guests to become part of the family as well. So if you are our guest this morning, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It says guest registration, has a blue stripe, and would love for you to fill that out. I'll be at this end of the foyer. Would love for you to come and meet me. I have a free gift for our guests. And Billy, now I think it's my turn again, right? I don't know. Just saying. It's fun. It's fun. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. I love this chapter of Philippians. I encourage you to read the whole chapter when you get home today. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Your attitude, he's speaking to us. Your attitude, church, my attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come? We have invited you. You are indeed welcome here. You're welcome to speak. We encourage you to speak. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to continue the sermon series, We Believe. These are the foundation, the non-negotiables, the absolutes of the faith of us as Christians. We believe, today's message is, we believe in one Lord, Jesus the Christ. Did you know that Jesus Christ, we refer to Jesus as Jesus Christ. Did you know that Christ is not his last name? It's not his last name. It's a title. It's who he is. Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, the holy one from God, God made flesh, Jesus the Christ. Jesus asked his disciples, who do the people say that I am? And they're naming all sorts of different things. And Jesus personalizes and says, no, who do you to say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus was pleased with that answer. He said it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit, had revealed that to Peter, Jesus the Christ. Here's the thing. When we come to faith in Christ, have you ever heard, do you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? That's kind of what we say. We put those together, Lord and Savior. Well, we know, we kind of like and embrace that Savior part. He saves us from our sin. He gives us eternal life. But it's that Lord part that I think we maybe continue to struggle with. Try to understand what that means. Lord, to be Lord says that we are voluntarily putting God in charge. Jesus doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't say, I will be your Lord and Savior. You will bow a knee to me. No, he invites us to receive him in that way. But if we accept that in faith, we say that he is our Lord and Savior. He saves us from our sin. But what exactly does it mean for him to be Lord of our lives? Let's unpack that word a little bit further today. Jesus Christ is our one and only Lord. He's our one and only. Ephesians 4 says it this way. There is one Lord. We've talked about how there is there's one God in three persons. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So there's one God. There is, here in Ephesians, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If you've led someone to Christ or if you've been led to Christ, sometimes this passage out of Romans is a passage that you can share with someone as they are considering giving their life over to the Lord. And it says this, if you confess with your mouth, what? Jesus is Lord. If you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There it is, salvation, yes, but we must confess him as Lord. He is our Lord. The world offers many lords to us. Did you know that? Things that we may surrender to, things that we put our faith in, things that we give control in our lives. Could be wealth, could be our self-indulgence, pleasure, all sorts of things that the world gives us that tries to give something that emulates Jesus in our lives, something that we put as Lord in our lives, but Jesus truly is Lord, and he is calling us to proclaim that. If we confess Jesus is Lord, believe that God is raising him from the dead, we will be saved. Secondly, Jesus is our one and only Lord, and his lordship demands a response. In this passage today in Philippians, at the name of Jesus, this Jesus the Lord, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, I was telling the early service, it's getting harder and harder for me to bow a knee because I don't have my real knees anymore. But I don't think it's just talking about physically. But yes, I think that's a piece of it, that there may be times we need to bow a physical knee to him. But I think he's talking about spiritually, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He's the boss in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And so if we proclaim Jesus as Lord, and we're basically saying, now you're in charge. I'm freely giving you charge of my life. I'm going to follow you as Lord. Listen to what Jesus says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Anybody's toes getting stepped on but mine? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus says, and you don't do what I say? You don't follow my teachings. First of all, and we're going to talk about this more next week, but you can't follow the word if you don't know the word. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? You've said that you've surrendered me to me as your Lord and Savior, and yet there's other things still controlling you as Lord in your life besides me. I believe that's what the Lord would say to us. Jesus, to call Jesus Lord is to obey him fully. And I think we're all, maybe it's just me, still on that journey of obeying him fully. To allow him, as I said, to be in charge. In charge of everything. Every component of our lives. There's a comic that, and it doesn't include you, Billy. It's okay. You can rest easy. There's a comic I may need to put in an email here soon, but it's got a guy, it's a comic, it's a drawing of this man who's being baptized by immersion, and as he's going under the water, he's got his wallet up here, and the water line's right here. It's like, Lord, you can have everything but this. Or you could maybe take that same comic and go, uh-oh. You can't have this, Lord. Well, let's see. I'm going to run out of hands here in a minute. Everything else, Lord, you can have. Oh, wait a minute. We have these things in our lives that's like, Lord, you handle my life, I'll handle my finances. Lord, you handle my life, I'll handle my social media accounts. Lord, that's probably too technical for you, Lord. If he's Lord, it's to put him in charge of our life, every component of our life, our relationships, our career, our finances, our tongue, our time, all of it. And if you're like me, I'm still a work in progress. But I know what I need to be striving for is to allow the Lord to be truly be Lord in every component of my life. It may be somebody that, man, did you know, maybe nobody else besides me has noticed this, but some people are not as easy to love as others. Did you know that? Have anybody else noticed that? Some people, man, it's easy to love. And they are just nice, and they treat you nice and say good things to you and love you back. And, man, that's just easy. And then there's probably some faces going through your minds like, not him. And I hope that face is not me. I hope that's not me. Have we given him control over those relationships? And it may even be people pretty close to us. I've told you the story of a neighbor in our neighborhood. Man, you've heard me talk about it, but just lots of details there. But man, it was really hard. It was hard to love this guy. And the Lord is at work in that relationship between him and his family and Cheryl and I. We've been praying for him for a couple, two or three years, and the Lord is at work there in that relationship. The Lordship of Christ demands a response from us. It's the Lord does not force himself upon us. It says he stands at the door and he knocks. And if we invite him in, he'll come and make his home with us. And so there's invitation that the Lord has, like, for us to be receive him as Lord and Savior. He does not force himself on us, but to have him as Lord is to obey him fully and to say, Lord, I'm not in charge anymore. You're in charge. And that's a task, I think, equipped by the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, if Jesus truly is the Lord, and if his lordship in our lives demands a response, it's our response that brings glory to God. Listen to this passage we talked about today. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, here it is, to the glory of God the Father. When we surrender to Jesus as Lord, and when we love better than our human flesh allows us to love, when we love those that are not that lovable, that glorifies the Father. Jesus said it this way, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." Here it is, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You want to prove to the world that Jesus is Lord in your life? Love like him. Surrender those relationships and those situations. Surrender all of it, your social media and your finances and your career and all of it. Surrender to the Lord and do, man, I don't know, I just feel like sometimes when we're surrendered to the Lord, sometimes we do things that the world doesn't understand. I remember when Cheryl and I, we decided to pursue ministry and walk away from the security of a computer career and all that stuff that I'd spent 20 years in. And that a lot of people, really in all honesty, thought we'd lost our ever-loving mind. Sometimes when you surrender to the Lord and just say, "Lord, you're in control here and I trust you," sometimes the world just goes, "What are you doing?" To say we believe in one Lord Jesus the Christ, it's more than a creed, it's a declaration. It's saying to the world, Jesus is Lord of my life. He alone rules my heart. He alone is the savior of my soul. I tell our staff this all the time and try to remind all of us that Jesus is the only changer of hearts. Did you know I can't change hearts? Our church can't change hearts. Our staff can't change hearts. No matter how dedicated a servant you are, you can't change a heart. Only Jesus is the changer of hearts. He alone deserves our worship. And he's calling us, if we surrender to him as Lord, he's calling us to action, to bow our knee to him, to confess our faith boldly for him, to live each day under the reign of one Lord, Jesus the Christ. A horrible thing, like going, we don't have any dentist in the room, I don't think, but it may sound like, a trip to the dentist or something. I don't think any of us look forward to a trip to the dentist. If you do, you're a sick human being, I'm just saying. You got a lot more trouble than your dental work, I'm just saying. But that's to surrender. It's not like that. It's not something to dread. To surrender to the Lord, He's good. He's good. He wants good things for us. And he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death, the trials that we face. I lift my eyes up to the Lord. Where does my help come from? It comes from you, Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth. We don't have to fear surrendering to the Lord because he is good. And his love endures forever. If you'll just bow your heads with me as the praise team comes back. Father, I confess that there's still areas that I'm holding up above the waterline. I haven't completely surrendered certain things to you, and help me to trust you more. Help my life to declare that you rule, that you alone are worthy of worship. I bow my knee to you. I live each day for you in accordance with your will. As Jesus says, the prayer you taught us to pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May it come in our lives. May people see us. May we conduct ourselves in such a way that brings you honor and glory. because you are Jesus, the Christ, the Lord. And we love you. If there's those this morning, Lord, that don't know you in that way, or that maybe perhaps have areas of their life they haven't surrendered to you, would you move in power in our hearts, in our lives? Give us courage to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll rise as we close, as we worship this last song. The altar is always open. There will be people to pray for you. If you don't know that Jesus I'm talking about, he knows you and he loves you. Don't leave this place without visiting with me about that.
So when we started this morning, I said there were going to be a couple upbeat songs. So this is a new one, but this one clearly articulates what it means to believe. And so we are going to go through this song. It's pretty easy to catch on, but sing with us.
Of the gospel of Jesus.
Church, at the name of Jesus, say that name with me. Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's good news. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We are dismissed.
All praise to God our Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. In Jesus' mighty name I believe.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.